Well, g'day everyone and welcome to The Journey this week. Great to have you join us on what is a wonderful time of year. And for my church and many churches around the world, it's the commencement of the Lenten season, this period of time where we start to journey towards the events of Easter. Do so really practically, really seriously, in a really disciplined way, taking on reality that notion of the scripture verse that Jesus set his face like flint towards Jerusalem. Well, we're sort of doing that as well. That's what Lent is all about. And it's a period of time where we really consider how we open ourselves up to God's grace, God's transformation, and this process of ongoing conversion of our hearts and our minds and our behaviours to be true disciples of the risen Lord. So forget your New Year's resolutions. You might have done that already. These Lenten resolutions are the ones that really matter because you open them up to the grace and the power of God's Spirit to really transform you and to transform the world that you're in because of the Holy Spirit that you let flood your being and make you more and more like Christ. That's what the Lenten season's all about. And in that vein, we've got some great talks this week. We've got some great God spots from our wonderful, wonderful presenters who are all giving us stuff that's around this Lenten theme. It was Ash Wednesday during the week. This is the first Sunday in Lent. You're going to be hearing from Sister Monica Barlow, who's going to give us a bit of an input on the call of Isaiah. And she's going to reference compassion as being a feature of who we are and how we act in the Lenten season. Great to have Francine Parola on her own this week in the Smart Loving segment. She's got a great Lenten marriage makeover for us, 3 tips to make Lent a joyful spiritual experience with your spouse. The wonderful Father Chris Sarkis from Rose Meadow Parish is going to give us a summary about what Lent's about, and it's really this notion of coming back to God with all of our heart. That beautiful line from the book of Hosea. Mother Hilda Scott's going to talk to us about how Jesus in this journey confronts hell and prepares us to do the same. You're going to love an input from Sister Susanna Edmonds. She's going to explain to us really, really clearly how God is for us, and that God's very nature is love and desire for our happiness. So you can see there's some wonderful stuff all taken from what is the really vibrant, really well put together Lenten program called Comfort. It's been just gone out in tens of thousands of copies right around Australia. We know there are lots of people that are reading this daily journey towards Lent, and others are just doing it using the Sunday gospel stuff. And why wouldn't you? Because we've got people like Monsignor Graham Schmitzer, who today is going to break open for us Jesus's experience in the desert. What's the gospel reading set down for this Sunday? It's from Mark 1, 12 to 15. Let's hear that proclaimed for us by our fantastic sound editor, Max Norden. And then let's hear that gospel broken open for us by Monsignor Graham Schmitzer. After that, we've got a psalm for you, a Lenten psalm. We've got some really talented people to put our Lenten psalms to music every year as part of this Lenten program. This year's one being Comfort, as I said. And we've got the responsorial psalm, the beautiful words, "Your ways are love and truth." That's all coming up in this first part. Lots of really good stuff, as I just explained to you. In other parts of the show, some incredible music too. You can see some Mercy Me in there. A bit of Chris Tomlin, of course. We love Chris Tomlin stuff. I better stop dilly-dallying. Let's get into it. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. And so glad you've joined us this week on The Journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness, and he remained there for 40 days, and was tempted by Satan. He was with the wild beasts, and the angels looked after him. After John had been arrested, Jesus went into Galilee. There, he proclaimed the good news from God. "The time has come," he said, "and the kingdom of God is close at hand. Repent and believe the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. And now the Gospel reflection by Monsignor Graham Schmitzer.
Every year on the first Sunday of Lent, the Gospel we hear is that of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. St. Mark sums up his account in 3 short verses. Following his baptism, Jesus is driven into the wilderness, St. Mark tells us. We often hear of people driven by ambition, lust, desperation. But what drives Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is thrown into the world we are thrown into. In the time God gives us after our baptism, 40 days, 40 months, 40 years, we have to struggle with 2 realities. We have been named sons and daughters of God, but we are also part of a sinful humanity. Like Jesus, we too will struggle both with angels and with wild beasts. In his 40-day experience in the desert, Jesus acts out in person Israel's experience in the 40 years it took to reach the promised land following her rescue from Egypt. Jesus' temptations did not end with the 40 days, just as Israel's temptations did not end with the 40 years. St. Luke makes it quite clear that Satan was frustrated by Jesus' rejection of him, and he promises to return. He returns finally at Calvary and puts on the lips of the crowd what often is in our hearts: "Come down from the cross." In other words, do what we want and we will believe in you. It is probably the ultimate temptation. Matthew and Luke tell us Jesus underwent three temptations, temptations basic to any human. There was, first of all, the temptation to materialism, to deny the spiritual dimension of our lives. Secondly, there was a temptation to power. It had made Israel forget she was God's chosen people. She had wanted to be a nation like other nations, and indeed to dominate the rest. Thirdly, there was the doubt which had made Israel lose trust in the goodness of God. Our temptations are not over once we have been rescued at baptism. Satan never sleeps. Like Jesus, we'll be constantly tossed into the wilderness of struggle and grace, of success and failure. We need this Lenten retreat to discover afresh God's goodness, that his love for us remains even in and above all the adversity around us. "Lead us not into temptation," we pray each day in the Our Father. The temptation to think that he has abandoned us. It is not without good reason that faith is symbolized by an anchor. In his monumental Jesus of Nazareth, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, later Pope Benedict XVI, underlines the significance of Jesus' retreat in the desert before the onslaught of the devil. "It is a time of interior recollection during which Jesus wrestles with the odds, his own will or his Father's will." It will be repeated in the agony in the garden. It would seem then that this was an ongoing struggle throughout his public life. Here in the desert, it is a descent into the perils besetting mankind, for there is no other way to lift up fallen humanity. Jesus was to enter into the drama of human existence, for that belongs to the core of his mission. He has to penetrate it completely down to its uttermost depths in order to find the lost sheep, to bear it on his shoulders, and to bring it home. It was essential that he should in this way be made completely like his brothers, so that he could become a compassionate and trustworthy high priest for their relationship with God, able to expiate the sins of the people. In the suffering he himself passed through while being put to the test, enables him to help others when they are being put to the test.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
And now, here's Sister Susanna Edmonds.
This time last year, Christian musicians, including Wollongong's own Bishop Ryan, united to sing a blessing over Australia. Similar movements occurred in over 24 countries across 6 continents. The song chosen, written by Kari Job and others, repeats 35 times, "He is for you." This powerful proclamation resonates both with the truth about who God is and the truth that the human heart most needs to hear. To love is to will the good of the other. So the God whose very nature is love can have no desires for us, no stance towards us, other than for our happiness. A happiness that no thief can steal and no moth destroy, both in this life and for all eternity. But while on this earth, we are never able to see all sides of the story. After all, we can't even see at one time more than 3 sides of a cube. Christ himself, innocent though he was, died once for sins. The sins of all women and men, the cumulative consequences of humanity's rejection of God. When Jesus descended into the place of the dead on Holy Saturday, those who refused to be saved by a wooden ark were offered salvation through a wooden cross. Those who were too caught up in life's pleasures to listen to the words of Noah heard the word of God himself, who went to preach to the spirits in prison. And, as with all those who die, we pray that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has entered heaven and is at God's right hand, they now share his glory and sing his praise, a joy that knows no end. Catherine of Siena wrote, "You must believe in truth that whatever God gives or permits is for your salvation." And just as the best rainbows are seen during sun showers, so too are we best able to give glory to God when we let him lead us through suffering with trust in his providence and love. It was after Jesus had endured the temptation in the wilderness that he was ready to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God is close at hand. Let us make acts of faith that whatever God sends our way today will be for our salvation, our eternal happiness.
Well, there you go. I hope you really enjoyed that. I hope you've enjoyed everything you've heard so far on the show. Before the break, you heard from Monsignor Graham Schmitzer, who just broke open that beautiful gospel that we proclaimed today about Jesus' experience in the desert, tempted by the evil one and served by angels, driven by the Spirit. Thank you to Monsignor Graham there for his insights, and thank you too, very especially, to Sister Susanna Edmonds. That was a piece that she prepared for us for our Lenten Comfort daily journey through Lent towards Easter, and she just explained to us beautifully how he is for us. And now after enduring the temptation that we hear in today's gospel, Jesus is ready to proclaim the good news because of his own experience of God's truth and love. Wonderful stuff. More good stuff to come after the break. You're going to hear Mother Hilda Scott in her Wisdom from the Abbey segment. She's named the piece this week, Knowing Hell and Knowing Jesus. It'll make sense when you hear it, but it's talking about how Jesus really confronts the powers of evil and does so with and for us as well. That's after the break. First up, though, here's Mercy Me and the song Greater. Really hope you're enjoying today's show. We'll love and bring it to you. More good stuff to come with Mother Hilda Scott after the break. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you're on the journey.
Bring your tithe and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. Every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right, but that's alright, 'cause I hear a voice and it calls me every day, when others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world, in the world.
Yeah. Bring your doubts, bring your fears, bring your hurt, bring your tears. There'll be no condemnation here. You are holy, righteous, and redeemed. And every time I fall, there'll be those who will call me a mistake. Well, that's okay, 'cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world, in the world, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world.
There'll be days I lose the battle, grace says, and it doesn't matter, 'cause the cross already won the war. I'm learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more.
He's greater.
There'll be days I lose the battle, grace says, and it doesn't matter, 'cause the cross already won the war. I'm learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more.
He's greater.
'Cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say
together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
Now, wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
We now set out on our own road of surrender by meeting surrender in the person of Jesus. We are told that it was the Spirit who drove him out into the wilderness. It all sounds very ominous, especially when we read the rest of the Gospel about temptations and wild beasts. Yet St. Anthony the Great, who likewise encountered the wilderness, calls the Spirit the friend of the heart, who teaches us how to heal the wounds of the soul. The poet, W.H. Auden, added, "In the desert of the heart, let the healing fountain start." This friend of the heart drove Jesus right into the very core of our human experience, the desert of doubt, hunger, thirst and loneliness, where demons known and unknown roam about our consciousness, endeavouring to convince us of the most awful of lies. Lies such as God not loving us, that our anguishes of whatever kind, self-inflicted or otherwise, are of no interest to him, and he has left us to deal with life on our own because we're so bad, so sinful, so negligent, and so clearly unworthy of his attention. This all amounts to a fairly succinct description of hell, and in some way, we can all therefore say we have known hell. Yet we need not stay there, and the clue to this can be found in the initial Lenten Gospel. Here, covering himself in us, Jesus began the work given to him by the Father, namely the healing of our wounds. He starts by taking on the lies presented to him and tackles them with Scripture. Victorious against the devil, Jesus then leaves us with a wonderful truth. When we know hell, we can also meet him. Perhaps you have heard of St. Josephine Bakita. She was 10 when slave traders abducted her in Sudan. In a terror, she forgot her own name, so they called her Bakita, which means fortunate one. From one cruel owner to another, she was tortured, covered in tattoos and scars, had designs cut into her, and then salt rubbed in the wounds. Death was infinitely preferable. Then in 1882, an Italian purchased her, took her to Italy, and gave her to a kind colleague, Augusto Michelli. Accompanying Augusto's daughter to the school run by the Canossian sisters, Bakita began to discover the source of Augusto's kindness. And so her discovery of God took off in earnest. She became a Catholic, a free woman, and a Canossian sister. Of her past, she could say, "If I were to meet the slave traders, even those who tortured me, I would kneel and kiss their hands." Because of them, she claimed, she had found the God who went to hell with her. This is the God who invites us this Lent to surrender ourselves to him.
Thanks very much there to Mother Hilda Scott. A piece that she called for us this week, Knowing Hell and Knowing Jesus. That's her take on today's gospel, how Jesus confronts hell, the temptations and lies of the evil one. And in doing so, he also prepares himself to be able to take on and heal our wounds, the temptations and lies that are part of the deserts of our lives. Wonderful stuff. Thank you so much, Mother Hilda Scott. After the break, we're going to keep going with this wonderful kickoff to Lent. And one of my favourite guys in the whole world, Father Chris Sarkis, he's a really good preacher. He's a really wise man. He loves being a servant of God. He's got a piece for us this week called Come Back to Me, and in doing so, in breaking that open, he's going to give us a great little exposition about what Lent truly is all about. Coming up now, though, is Keith and Christy Getty. They're with Matt Boswell and Matt Papa. It's a beautiful song called His Mercy Is More. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you're on the journey.
Would wait as we constantly roam. What father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
They are many, his mercy.
Faith, hope, love, and life. This is The Journey.
Now, another Lenten reflection from Father Chris Sarkis.
On Ash Wednesday, we begin Lent. The cover portrait of this year's Diocesan Lenten Reflection booklet is that of Paolo Veronese's The Agony in the Garden. Jesus is portrayed as totally reposing upon the angel, exhausted, resting, being comforted. What an appropriate theme for this year's Lenten Reflections. With COVID-19 and other dramatic events in the world and in the Church that seem never-ending, we can easily wonder whether the Lord has taken a break from us or even given up on us. Is he trying to tell us something? Maybe he is. Isolation, loss, dislocation, fear, anxiety, profound questioning are just some of the feelings expressed by many people. While we know that God never leaves us, especially when we need him most, we can still sometimes wonder. I think that this is part of Jesus's human demeanour that the artist is communicating. He believes, he knows the final outcome of his agony, passion, and death. Yet he still wonders and seeks answers. Jesus, too, relies on the strength of his heavenly Father to get him through what is to come. Just like us, really. But sometimes, just like him, all we can do is set our face like flint and move trustingly forward, seeking the Lord wherever he is, even sometimes when he and his will seem hidden from us. But like Jesus, we walk in faith, knowing that he walks with us and sometimes carries us. Saint Teresa of Calcutta said that we are called not to do great things, but to do little things with great love. Wherever you are at the moment, and whatever situation you are in, keep trusting in God as Jesus did, and seek him. Fasting and almsgiving are excellent things, but without prayerful faith and joyful trust, they will not yield much fruit. We are called to be saints. Saints are people who seek God and love much, who make a difference by their lives of quiet but constant fidelity. In the days and weeks ahead, seek the Lord and rest in your heavenly Father as Jesus did. Persevere, pray, be nourished by God and the angels he sends to you. Seek the Lord and you will find him, and then simply rest in him.
Thanks to Father Chris Sarkis. Loved how he broke open what's been a real sense of isolation and dislocation, anxiety, and for so many people in this period of recent times that has been so impacted by COVID-19, and how Lent reminds us that God never leaves us, especially in time of need. And how in the coming weeks that are part of the Lenten journey, we've just got to seek him, keep our eyes on Jesus, and you'll surely, definitely find him and be able to rest in him. Don't forget, if you like what you just heard, or you liked any of the stuff that you heard earlier in the show, we've had Mother Hilda, we've had Sister Susanna, we've had Graham Schmitzer, the Monsignor, he's a champion. Don't forget, you can just go to jcr.org.au. It's all there. You can just go and click and hear all these little God spots again. You can sign up and get this sent to you as a podcast each week. Mind you, lots and lots of people just listening really faithfully to their local Christian radio station. This is going into, I think, upwards of 30 now around the country. It's hard to keep a track of it. We're just so humbled to be partnering these incredible radio stations right around the country, which are proclaiming the good news and doing so vibrantly. Can't name them all, but a big cheerio to the guys over there in Sunshine in Perth, the guys in Newcastle, the guys in One Way FM in Canberra, so many stations in Victoria and country New South Wales, the guys in Wagga, up the coast, Port Macquarie, Coffs Harbour, the guys up in Queensland, Bathurst, too many to name. I'll get through them all in the course of the next few weeks, don't you worry, but just know that we're so grateful to be partnering with you, and really encourage, if you're listening in that area, to support your local Christian radio station, because they bring you stuff like this each and every week, building you up in your journey of discipleship. Coming up now, we've got Francine Parola, Without Byron. They do this from time to time and fly solo. They certainly don't in life, but they do every now and then for the journey. The reason being this week that Francine wanted to give us a very clear message on her own about how to have a Lenten marriage makeover. She wants to break up for us three tips to make Lent joyful and a wonderful spiritual experience as a couple. Let's hear from Francine now, and we'll have a great song. Nick and Becky Drake, Speak Your Name. We're getting near the end of the show. After the break, though, you're going to hear from a wonderful lady getting to work with her really closely at the moment, Sister Monica Barlow. She's one of the Josephite sisters, and she's going to talk to us today in the final part of the show about Isaiah's call, reminding us about the need for compassion during Lent. That's after the break. Now, though, let's hear from Francine Parola. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. Great to have you walking with us on the journey.
Here's Byron and Francine Parola with Smart Loving, tips for vibrant marriages and family life.
Like most people, our optimistic resolutions for the new year tend to fizzle out before the end of January. Thankfully, Lent gives us another and a better chance of success. Lent is the ultimate change maker. 40 days is a Goldilocks time frame, long enough to establish a habit, but not so long to be intimidating at the beginning. It's also turbocharged with spiritual incentive. It's not just a change for my own good, but a change made from a desire to serve God. Here are three ways to give our marriages a Lenten makeover based on three traditional practices: fasting, prayer, and almsgiving. Number one, fast from criticism. We might not get fat from criticism, but take our word for it. A steady diet of the stuff is just as bad for our health, and it's toxic for our relationships. Habitual criticizers often think they have a moral obligation to shape up their spouse and their kids and everyone else in their life. It's surely one of the fastest ways to sour a friendship and poison a marriage. No one likes living with a chronic critic. The impulse to criticize and blame takes both of us down the negativity vortex. Our criticized spouse feels awful, and after a fleeting sense of self-righteous satisfaction, we feel like a jerk, mostly because we actually are being a jerk. If we take criticism out of our life, when things go wrong, we're more likely to approach it coolly and less likely to get uptight about who's at fault. We can calmly look for solutions, shrug off mishaps, and find the blessing in the mess. We become more relaxed and enjoy life more, and so does our spouse. Number two, pray for our spouse daily. Prayer has always been a fundamental part of Lenten practice, but if we're looking for something that will directly impact our marriage, the simple practice of praying daily for our spouse is a winner. We can renew our wedding vows, pray for the other's intentions, or pray blessing and protection over our spouse as they go about their day. Importantly, we can pray to be a better spouse, that God might transform me into a more effective messenger of His love. The trick to success is to make your prayer commitment simple and make it daily. A short, 30-second heartfelt prayer every day is more practical than that intended, but never quite managed, extended grand gesture. Number three, give without expecting a return. Almsgiving is the third Lenten obligation. Our wedding vows call us to approach our marriage in the spirit of self-giving service. Yet for many of us, when we give to our spouse, there is an unspoken expectation of repayment, of quid pro quo. At the very least, we expect gratitude. As a spiritual discipline this Lent, once a week, give something to your spouse without expectation of payback or acknowledgement. Do it graciously and in secret if possible. The point is not so much about our spouse feeling loved by our act, but about the spiritual discipline of giving without expectation. It's about detaching from our need for appreciation and recognition. That will free us to be more loving and generous in all our interactions. So there it is, three ways to do Lent with a marriage twist. And by the way, none of these practices require the participation of our spouse. These Lenten tasks can be done by any husband or wife as our own private initiative. I'm Francine Parola, and with my husband Byron, we're the founders of Smart Loving. For more tips, visit smartloving.org.
Hi, this is Mandy from Diamond Creek, Victoria. and you're listening to The Journey.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
Now, Sister Monica Barlow, putting Lent into perspective.
When I was a child, Lent was about giving something up, usually chocolates or lollies. As the years have gone by, I have come to appreciate that the season of Lent is much more. It is about opening our hearts more fully to our God. So it is not so much about giving up as giving. Each Lent, I am challenged by the reading from Isaiah for the Friday after Ash Wednesday, when he speaks about the kind of fast God wants from us. Is not this the sort of fast that pleases me? It is the Lord who speaks. To break unjust fetters and undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke, to share your bread with the hungry and shelter the homeless poor, to clothe the person you see to be naked and not turn from your own kin. Then, in the following verses, the prophet touches on the core of the season of Lent, conversion of heart. Then will your light shine like the dawn, and your wound be quickly healed over. Your integrity will go before you, and the glory of the Lord behind you. Cry, and the Lord will answer. Call, and he will say, I am here. The word conversion means turning towards, which implies turning away from. So for me, the season of Lent means turning away from those practices in my life that stop me from consciously and wholeheartedly inviting God to be at the very heart of all I am and do. That is why the traditional practices of Lent are so important. Fasting from what takes me away from God and into my selfish desires. Prayer that each day helps me to take on the mind and heart of Christ Jesus. And almsgiving, which awakens me to those in need in our world. Entering wholeheartedly into the season of Lent prepares me for the glorious hope and joy of Easter as I become more and more of one mind and heart with the Lord.
You live.
There you go. That's a great way to finish up with Chris Tomlin. Wonderful song to finish the show, and the song Curio Liaison features Matt Maher in that as well. Love to see these collaborations by artists. Matt's a big name in the Catholic world, obviously. Chris is just a wonderful worship leader, one of the big names in the world in worship. Great to see them collaborating. And before that, you heard from Sister Monica Barlow. She's a Josephite sister. I'm getting to work with her really closely at the moment. She's doing some work in Wollongong, and she had some wonderful things to say for us this week about fasting from that which takes me away from God, and fasting from selfishness, really surrounding ourselves and jumping into daily prayer and ensuring that almsgiving, responding to those in need, is very much a part of our Lenten journey. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Sister Monica. Thank you to you, to Francine Parola, to the wonderful Father Chris Sarkis. Great to have Mother Hilda Scott on the show, of course. Sister Susanna Edmonds for the first time, and her piece from this year's Lenten Comfort Program, this daily Lenten journey, and Monsignor Graham Schmitzer right back at the start of the show. It's not too late to nail down some of the things that you really want to do during Lent. As I said at the start of the show, forget your New Year's resolutions. Make some Lenten ones. Figure out the things that you want to do, that you think the Holy Spirit's putting in your heart to be more and more a disciple, an authentic witness to Jesus, and then call on God's grace to make it happen. Seek and you'll find. And thanks for walking with us today on this journey as we kick off Lent, and hope you can do it right throughout this whole Lenten season. Don't forget, go to jcr.org.au. You can go and see us on Facebook. Check us out there. We'd love it if you like our Facebook page. You'll get a brief little video from me each week just letting you know what's coming up on the show. Share that with other people too. We want to get this show out to as many, many people as possible. We know that it's transforming the lives who are regular listeners, and we hope and trust that the Holy Spirit's moving in your life because of some of the stuff that you've heard today. Faith, hope, love, and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you have been on the journey. Thanks for joining us.
The Journey is produced by Jude Hennessy and edited by Max Norton from the office of the Bishop in the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.